He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday Taco Tuesday, September the 26th, 2023 edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And we do the show during good days. We do the show during bad days. We do the show during flat days in the market. What's the market upset about today? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. The Dow is down today 0.5%. Down 179 to 33,827. It's nearing some pretty important support levels, namely the 200-day moving average is the Dow. The S&P is down to 4302. It's down 35 points. It's down 80 basis points this morning. The NASDAQ is down 1% after having a pretty decent day yesterday. NASDAQ down 134. To 13,137. The Russell 2000 is actually up just a little bit. Crude oil's up to 89.76. It's up just 8 cents. Gold down $12 to 1924. And the all-important 10-year, it's holding steady. It's down 2 basis points. But it is clear up at 4.52%. Definitely one of the reasons the market is upset today. Welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And it looks to me like the Friday deadline looming. Has probably one of the biggest reasons. And we had some news out of that China real estate market, which can upset the market from time to time. I'm going to say those are the two biggest reasons that the market can't get any traction today. Do you see any other reasons to add to that, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the 10-year being where it is just, you know, it's hard for, you know, to where that number is at the moment, right? I mean, it's really hard for the market, you know, to get any higher traction, right? I mean, of course, you know we'll take sideways, I guess, at the moment, but, you know, the market just continues to work through a lot of that. I was looking at some of the, you know, reasoning behind why, you know, rates are where they are at on the 10-year side. And, you know, it really has to do a combination of, you know, issuance, number one. They had to issue a ton. If you look at the rates since, you know, since the end of, you know, just go from the end of June, the amount of issuance in terms of filling back up, the bank accounts, right, for the U.S. government after almost hitting the debt ceiling there, and selling into, selling some treasuries as they're trying to defend their currency, which really hasn't worked out very well. And then the Fed, as you mentioned, is actually unwinding parts of their balance sheet. Their balance sheet is very big. So you've got it's really a supply and demand issue.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Too much supply coming to the market, not enough demand. And there is one other factor here, too. You know, Jamie Dimon, he says things that are kind of crazy from time to time. He said, I don't think the market's ready for 7% interest rates. And everyone's all like, what?
Well, of course they're not ready.
No.
I wouldn't think they'd be ready either. You know,
but he said it, and that rattles the market. Now, yesterday we had a pretty good day. The market stabilized. We had a two-day dot plot temper tantrum, I called it, on Thursday and Friday. But after having said that, rates went up another 10 basis points yesterday. And it could be, you know, Barry, unseen action. We don't see the volume in the bond market, how much the U.S. government is selling, how much the U.S. government is. It's not something we're watching.
Yeah, we just know it's very large. We just know it's very large, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a company floating more shares, right, of their stock. I mean, how much more it dilutes? How many? There's too much supply. There's not enough buyers for all of this stuff. And, you know, and on the other hand, everybody's in a tizzy about the budget showdown. But some patriots got to come forward, right, or a group of patriots and do something. You know, the last time we had interest rates this high, we had $9 trillion in debt. That was back in 07. Now we've got $33 trillion in debt and no end in sight. I mean, it's like, look, we're going to run budgets $2 trillion over budget a year ad infinitum. And what happens if there's ever an emergency again, another, you know, pandemic or a war, etc.? We're not in a very good position financially. And to be paying now $1 trillion a year in interest, well, like I say, and then it upsets the market when they try to come forward and try to say, hey, you know, we got to do something here. Enough is enough. But so that's the showdown. We'll see. I don't think they're going to kick the can down the road. I really don't. I mean, the GOP has the House. They want to make a statement. They want to do something that the Republican voters sent them to do, I suppose. And I think there will be quite a nasty little spat going on, which probably will pale in comparison to the spat that could go on next November. You know, when we get the presidential election. Well, anyways, the 10-year closed at 4.54 yesterday. You're going way back to 2007, like I say, to find a rate that high. I don't think did you expect rates to go up this year? We expected rates to cool off, right?
Yeah, and they did. You know, the other thing is, they did, and then that was kind of, my impetus in terms of going back, because it's one of these things. It's like, it's either rates go up for two reasons. It's either, too much supply, right, and folks are not going to pay as much, and the yield is going to go up, price down, yield up, or someone's, say, a company who used to be a good credit is now a junk credit. Well, even if normal interest rates are staying the same, those yields are going to go up because there's a higher credit risk. And so when you're looking at rates as far as they moved, it's like, okay, is there something, U.S. debt falling apart, right? Or is it some other factor? And a lot of it certainly seems to be, right, the supply factor, which over time, right, should sort itself out, which is kind of your take in terms of it being temporary, right?
Yes, and rates are up 75 basis points almost. We began the year at 3.88.
Almost at 4, basically, right? Yeah, right.
Now we're at 5.0, we hit 4.54 yesterday, so that would be 66 basis points that they've gone up this year.
4.51 right now, yeah.
So anyways, this past week, and it really started, the market was doing just fine until the Fed announcement last Wednesday, and I think the market was looking ahead to rate cuts already, and that got put off, right, for several months, and that pretty much has caused the market to stall out here. Now, again, that's the multiple side of the equation, and that's showing up. Kathy Wood was down 10% last week in her ARK funds. The NASDAQ was down 3%. The earnings picture has not changed, though. We're still looking for $220, somewhere in that area, in earnings this year. You can slap an 18 multiple on that, but next year we're looking for $250 in earnings. So the earnings picture has not changed. It's all about the and interest rates.
In 2024 estimates, or analyst estimates, take those for what they're worth, but have actually increased to around 10%, I've noticed. So,
and then you go out even to 2025, we've got estimates out there on the street of about $280 in earnings. Now, a lot can happen between now and then. But in the meantime, the market's going to trade on those expectations. And those expectations have not changed at all. It's the multiple alone that has changed. So that's why I say my latest article is out on Seeking Alpha, which says the interest rates will determine the next move of the market. Seems to me like the path of least resistance is for interest rates to go down from here. I keep saying that. But we have a couple of things keeping it high, like you say, the issuance, all the debt that we're floating, number one. and number two, well, you know, the U.S. debt will get a downgrade on Friday if the budget deal does not come together, and it doesn't look like it will. So I think the market's pricing in a downgrade, which would be a temporary downgrade, right? Temporary.
Right.
You get a budget deal, and then the downgrade goes away. So I think a lot of this is transitory. In the meantime, it's painful.
Well, and the 4.5 rate's going to be under fire on Friday whenever the PCE index comes out. You know, so that it's got to, you know, that could bring it down as well. So
we got to soothe the nerves of the folks out there listening. A lot of this is transitory. You know, at the time, it doesn't feel very transitory. You just want to get it over with. You know, we've got to look ahead here and look at some other companies and stuff going on. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Michigan is in the spotlight here. I think, is it tomorrow that Biden will be there marching with the picketers, with the strikers?
I knew it was either today or tomorrow, yeah.
And then Trump, I think, is there the day after that, and he's going to be talking about, you know, he's going to be talking with the UAW workers also, but the big electric car, you know, shift is causing some waves up in Michigan. And I saw today that Ford is backing off that big
battery plant
that they were going to build because they don't know if they can make it fiscally responsible. They don't know if they can make profitable.
And weren't they getting some pushback? Was like some kind of joint? Maybe there was some Chinese money that was involved in it.
There was.
There's some other piece there, too, yeah.
So anyways, I bring up Michigan because I need to remind everybody that we'll be visiting Michigan October 17th, 18th, and 19th. Hopefully the strike will be over by then. We will be at the Kingsley Doubletree Hotel in Bloomfield, right?
Bloomfield.
Yeah, Michigan. We'll be there for three straight days, and we're meeting with folks. If you would like to set up an appointment with us, this is a rare opportunity. I mean, we go on the road maybe four times a year, something like that these days, post-COVID. And we will be there in person for 3 days. You get to sit down and have an appointment with myself and with Barry Kite. He's a chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. I've got 24 years' experience as a professional money manager. So we might be able to analyze a thing or two for you to see if you're on the right track.
Yeah, it's always fun to get out there and you know, find out what's going on with folks and going on in their financial worlds. And you know, this first time we've made it over to up to Detroit. So looking forward to that. And certainly... you know, anyone that wants to reach out, get with Edie. She's the queen of the schedule.
I got to look into hockey tickets today for the Red Wings.
Yep, that's.
I want them right behind the glass.
Yeah, so you can get. We can have Sandy tapping on, banging on the glass.
When they slam into that glass, there's nothing like it. Teeth go flying. Those are real men out there, man, playing ice hockey. Okay, now, here's another problem. Evergrande, they were going to restructure their debt, but now there's an investigation into them, which delays or doesn't allow them to do this until the investigation is over. Does China ever find anything that they don't investigate?
They find what they want to find. It depends. I've seen that Aziz kind of done some consolidation of power recently in terms of turning over some defense ministers and some other things. And so, who knows? You know, maybe this has kind of been a thorn in the side and continues to go on in China in terms of, you know, it's a problem and it's something that's going to come to the surface, and at some point, right? I mean, it's kind of their version of 07, you know, the 08-09 housing crisis. It's just, you know, they've got, we've heard about the ghost cities. The ghost cities have been there for a decade now, probably, or longer.
Yeah, there's $32 billion in debt that they've got to renegotiate, and they're giving debt holders a range of options, I'm sure none of which are any good. Basically, they want to exchange debt for equity, which, you know, the equity could be not worth much. And I don't see the government coming forward with TARP funds anytime soon to bail them out. But the Chinese property market is upside down. And that, of course, is not a good situation. It's going to come to a head at some point in time. All right, Jamie Dimon did say the world may not be prepared for the Federal Reserve's benchmark interest rate rising to 7%. Well, he said that would be the worst-case scenario if we really got a heavy dose of stagflation, which is the worst of all worlds. That's what happened in the Carter era when we had a stagnant economy and runaway inflation back then that took interest rates up to 17-18%. And that's when Volcker had to come in and put the economy into a recession to get inflation under control. So,
well, think about who would be benefit the most potentially, right, from rates going there, you know, potentially JP Morgan, right? And you know, you think those, you know, small banks balance sheet, mid-sized banks balance sheet look bad, you know, in March when the treasury, you know, when the 10-year was at, you know, 4%, right? You know, once you know, what do you think those balance sheets are going to look like when you're at, you know, 4.5, right?
Yes,
and so
exactly.
Or 7 if it got to where he was, they'd simply be backing up the truck probably and purchasing a handful of other banks.
Yes. Well, and as we said, you know, a shutdown this week would be credit negative for the largest economy in the world. It would be temporary, obviously, until they got a deal. But that's another thing. The market's always nervous about something, but, you know, sometimes it's more nervous than others. And these are just some of the reasons why the market is nervous. Home prices rise again, which defies all logic. You know, you've got the 30-year mortgage up there close to, talk about 7%, it's up there. And nobody's going to go out and sell their home and lose their 3% mortgage, and unless it's a cash deal, that's what I'm
hearing. Unless they have to, right? If you're moving for a job or something very natural, right? You're not making that choice, you know, really willingly in a lot of instances, unless, like you said, you're a cash buyer.
And
there's only so many of those.
But you know, having said that, home prices continue to rise, which just defies all logic. Okay, the International Energy Agency, our friends over there, it should be the anti-energy. They warn that delaying emission cuts will make it impossible to meet the net zero target. Well, okay, they've chosen 2050 as net zero. No carbon emissions. And just imagine the world, what the world would look like. Would have to look like to get there. So they're stepping up. They're turning up the heat. I saw yesterday that the United Nations is turning up the heat. Pardon the pun, but they're turning up the heat on the emitters of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. And so they've got to really step it up and really get there quickly to cap the temperature rising to just by 1.5 degrees and to get to the zero emissions by 2050. All right, so anyways, there's a lot of controversy surrounding this. And, of course, the emerging market economies, China has no interest, India has no interest, Russia has no interest. We can't do it on our own without crushing our economy. Anyways, we got to find some good news. I'll find something good to talk about when we come back. We had a busy day here in South Carolina yesterday. That was kind of interesting. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Trump, former President Trump, candidate Trump, was in town yesterday here in Somerville, South Carolina. We go to Somerville quite often, and I know the he went into the Palmetto Armory, which is where I get a lot of my fishing equipment, and it's also a gun store.
And it's a pretty big one around here in the
they've got them all over the state.
Yeah.
Apparently, he put a Glock gun on the table.
I didn't see that part.
No, he got one out of the counter. He asked to see it, and then he says, "I want to buy it." And he also. Just down the street from there is a big boat dealer with a lot of a lot of bass boats and center consoles and stuff. Pretty nice little boat dealer. He stopped there. I did see the Trump plane coming, probably taking off from my home. We're not too far from the airport. So that was our day in South Carolina yesterday, a state that he probably won by 20 points or something. Spotify is using AI to make podcasters speak other languages. How about this?
Well, I mean, that sounds like a good. Isn't that just translation? I mean, is that what we call AI now? I mean, I thought they already had Google Translate.
Yeah,
right?
But they're taking your voice, mm-hmm. keeping with the speaker's distinctive speech characteristics.
Oh, even more unique. Wow.
Okay. While the project is still in the pilot phase, the new technology is capable of crafting realistic synthetic voices from just a few seconds of real speech. So, you know, I was just thinking, you know, that'd be kind of cool to have my show in French, in Spanish, in whatever other language. I should speak a couple languages,
I wonder what the Gunderson voice would sound like in French.
It'd be good. All the women would just go nuts, you know. Just kidding. Anyways, I should speak Portuguese. I grew up with a bunch of Portuguese, you know, in Point Loma, tuna fishermen. That's all I learned were like the cuss words, you know. And then
I had a buddy from Panama. He moved here when he was in sixth grade. He actually went to elementary school with Noriega's niece.
Nice.
But anyways, I took some Spanish in school, but you pick up the bad words the fastest. It's kind of
weird. I've traveled all over Mexico, you know, fishing and whatnot, right. and I just never really had a lot of friends that spoke Spanish. My sister speaks fluent Spanish. But I speak a lot. I just don't know if
my brain works that way. You know?
Yeah, so nowadays we'll just let the artificial intelligence do the show in any language you want to listen to it in. Microsoft-backed OpenAI says ChatGPT can see, hear, and speak in a new update. It's now able to see, hear, and speak spoken words thanks to the new update. This is the Sam Altman-led company. He said the update will allow users on the app to opt into conversations and have the app respond. How about that? You're not going to need people anymore. Let's just get rid of people. Let's just have chatbots. They're a lot cheaper. You don't have to feed them. They don't march in picket line. They can share images with ChatGPT. They can ask it questions with the chatbot responding. So anyways, they've collaborated with professional voice actors to create each of the voices. There you go. So this is where we're headed with artificial intelligence. Now, Kathy Woods, she says NVIDIA is too obvious. She likes UiPath. Okay, I'm going to look at a chart of it. The symbol is path. I'm familiar with the stock. That's a choppy chart. The E-ratio of 41. It sounds like a Chinese
dish. Is it a technical term?
Yes, choppy. Now, Twilio is her other one, T-W-L-O. And, yeah, that's a really flat chart. But I'm just looking at the chart. Okay, she just thinks that they should be looked at. And she continues, she backs up whatever. She backs up her Tesla, loads up with shares of these stocks. Now, Morgan Stanley says NVIDIA is a buy here. The recent decline in NVIDIA, they had that blowout report. I guess, buy the rumor, sell the news. The stock really hasn't done much. It's a monster. Do you know how much the earnings estimates have gone up? Well, I'm going to just tell you. And I don't think that's priced into the stock. I really don't. They're going to make $15 a share next year. Earnings are going to go up 187% this year and another 57% next year. And by the way, that's a good chart on NVIDIA. NVIDIA is up almost 1% today on that news. Tesla's also up today on a day when the market's not in a good mood. So Morgan Stanley moving the needle on NVIDIA today. And another story out on NVIDIA, UBS said it believes NVIDIA, which is currently generating $1 billion in cloud revenue, they think that can go up to $10 billion in cloud revenue. So a couple of really good stories there on NVIDIA today, which is having a pretty good day despite the market. Costco members, look, you can get almost anything at Costco, right? I mean, tires, you can get air conditioning, you can buy solar.
Mums, you can get mums right
glasses,
now.
Glasses, mums, dads. Costco members get access to online medical visits. You can buy a card. You know how you get a gift card for a local restaurant? Well, you can get one for a doctor visit. You can get a virtual visit with a Sesame doctor, $29, which bills itself as a healthcare marketplace. Sesame does not require an individual to have health insurance to use their services. Through Sesame, members can also get virtual care from a mental health professional for $79. They're also eligible for discounts on other specialists, dentists, and laboratories. Now, don't forget, you got to have your Costco card with you when you go to the dentist. But anyways, that's now a new offering. And Amazon has an Amazon Clinic. And, of course, CVS and Walgreens also have those ready clinics. Okay, Novo Nordisk is investing big into AI-led drug discovery. We've talked a lot about Novo Nordisk. They have their Wegovy, which has been used for diabetes. Novo Nordisk has been the leading diabetes drug company over the years. It's been a terrific deliverer of alpha to investors. And now, of course, they've crossed into the weight loss. Wegovy is a competitor to Mounjaro from Lilly. But they are investing $2.7 billion with Valo Health in a collaboration to use artificial intelligence to develop new treatments.
And you just mentioned something like a use for AI last week, and then
yep.
I saw that story while we were on the show yesterday. And, yeah, that's it's pretty interesting. So they'll kind of, I guess what, just, I mean, so we don't need mice or anything else anymore, or human trials? They're just going to run it through AI,
well,
huh?
I'm sure it speeds up the process tremendously.
Yeah.
It speeds up the process, and I'm sure there will be some kind of a universal database. I know in the genealogy realm and family search that they're using AI a lot, and it's helped a lot. Like, okay, so you get a ship register with all these names on it. It used to be people that would enter those names,
and
and do the best they could with the, you know, the handwriting. They were handwritten. Now you've got AI entering all of these names. So there's a lot of uses for it. 53 new ETFs to debut in the U.S. market this week. It's really becoming an ETF world. You know, all of these, it takes away the single stock risk is the mantra. But you still have market risk, okay? And I guarantee you that if NVIDIA goes down 20%, the semiconductor ETF's going to go down about the same. And in addition to ETFs, you know, instead of just owning the best ones in the sector, you get all the garbage along with it. In the tech sector, for instance, that comes with all of the Hewlett-Packards of the world and the IBMs and all of the laggards that are anchors that the good stocks have to drag around. But it is an ETF world. I have a lot of ETFs in the app. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're close. We are very close. It's down to proofing it. That's what I'm doing. I'm proofing it. And then it will be out real soon. It's beautiful. Nice. But I got to add a lot of ETFs to that stupid thing. That takes time. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I hear Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, will be at the Kingsley Doubletree in Bloomfield, Michigan, October 17th, 18th, 19th. Contact us through our website, GundersonCapital.com, or call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. To meet with us. It will be there between 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening. So you ought to be able to squeeze something in. We're there to accommodate you. Again, those will be some interesting appointments there. 855-611-BEST. One other, I see a stock moving today, okay, that is associated with one of the presidential candidates. I'll bet you didn't know that. Roy Vant, R-O-I-V, is a biotech stock. There's news on the stock. It's up 20% today. I'll bet he wishes he was up 20% in the polls today. What is the news here on Roy Vant? R-O-I-V. We'll get to the presidential candidate's name in a bit. Roy Vant. Phase one data for an autoimmune drug, okay? And, of course, that's Vivek Ramaswamy, that's his company that he started. I think the debate is tomorrow. I'm not sure where the debate is around.
Is it in Michigan? I don't know why.
Or Georgia.
I know it's tomorrow. I thought it was up that way because I thought that's why Trump was going to go meet with some auto workers at the same time. I'll figure out the location.
That's his company, ROIV. Which is having a good day, one of the winners. There's another stock that's up 364% today. Oh, that's your winner.
Yeah, you know where this debate is, though, by the way.
Bill,
it's a Ronald Reagan presidential library,
Pasadena or...
Simi Valley or
Simi Valley out there. Okay, yeah. All right. SLNO, Soleno Therapeutics, is up 385%. For their lead asset in Prader-Willi syndrome. I'd have to look into that. I don't know what that is. But it's a very rare disease. And apparently they've got good news on their lead drug for that disease. The symbol is SLNO. Now, looking at the Dow, there's not much moving. It's the market's not very happy today. It's just kind of, you know, not happy. I should have went fishing. I looked at the wind finder last week. Today's the only day that there's no wind. We've had a lot of wind in the Atlantic Ocean and the South here recently.
Yeah, it's with been all churned, the, been churned up, right?
Yeah, and the hurricanes offshore and everything. And like today's beautiful, so I am thinking about it. But I should have just taken the day off. The market just looks lousy today. Who knows? So maybe we'll find some buys here today. Anyways, I'm looking at the Dow. Travelers is up a little bit. Walgreens, which is kind of a healthcare company, and the insurance companies, they're very defensive. And on the downside, Microsoft down 1.5, Apple down 1.5. So it's obviously a high PE bashing.
There's 20% of the NASDAQ right there.
Yep, and over at the S&P 500, there's a few up, mostly healthcare stocks. ResMed, which makes sleep apnea equipment. Gap Stores is up too. I've also noticed the fertilizer stocks have been rising recently. Both CF Industries, and what's the other one that
Nutrien.
Yeah, we have a bond. We own the bond on Nutrien.
Yep.
Nutrien has also been starting to break out recently. NVIDIA's up a little over 1%, and Tesla's up a little over 1% last time I looked. So there are a few winners in the S&P 500. On the downside, Amazon down 3%, Oracle down 2.6%, and Google down 2.2%. So not a good day for big tech unless you're NVIDIA or Tesla today. And at the NASDAQ, Ulta not looking good. Ulta's breaking down. That was one of the last big box stocks to hold up, and it's not holding up anymore. It's been breaking down recently. Doesn't look good at all. ASM Lithography doesn't look good. That's a chip maker, a chip equipment maker, high-tech chip equipment maker.
Well, your uranium stocks seem to be doing well.
Theirs was a hot spot. The nuclear stocks are going nuclear right now. I think the number, it was ranked number one either Friday or Monday, was CCJ, Cameco. But I have a hard time. It's very hard to put a value on those stocks because that's a very volatile commodity. It's a commodity that's in short supply, but there's a lot of demand for it these days. I don't know why the International Energy Agency doesn't make room in their forecast for net zero, because nuclear is one of the cleanest energy producers out there.
And most efficient.
Yeah, why aren't these big freighters running on little nuclear like our submarines and whatnot? Okay, now, I guess that's about it. You know, there's just not much happening. We're in one of those funks in the market. Today is Tuesday. The budget deadline is coming up. And you've got the PCE inflation number coming up. In the meantime, the market's just going, harumph. Well, anyways.
And we got some Fed speak. I think we got one today. I think
there's a busy day.
I think we get a few tomorrow. Actually, I know on Thursday we get a handful of them as well. So,
yes, it's a busy day as far as the Fed. Someone at the Fed needs to say something positive to get the. And again, Ford pauses construction on their giant electric vehicle battery plant in Michigan. You know, they're rethinking the electric vehicle thing, the automakers. Now, they're all in, but at the same time, they're having a difficult time, just like Tesla did, you know. But Tesla is up today. I'm not sure why, because they're being investigated. Are they receiving Chinese money? Are they being subsidized by the Chinese with the cars they make in China? Anyways, that's the news on Tesla today. All right.
They're actually exporting a handful of those.
Yes. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to meet with us in Michigan.
Bloomfield Hills,
that's right. On October 17th, 18th, and 19th, call us at 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to talk with us over the phone or Zoom, call us, get in touch with us at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.